Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to worship today at St. Mark's. A very special welcome to our worship guests. It's nice to see you and to be able to share God's love with you in God's house today. I'd like to welcome our very special worship guests, Branches Band, to help beautify worship and help us worship today. And we'll give them a chance to greet you and to introduce themselves after the service. So thank you. We look forward to worshiping with you today. The order of worship that we'll follow is printed completely in the worship booklet. And for each of the songs that we will sing, there are special worship notes and introductions. So please note that typically Branches Band will sing the first verse and then we'll join together in the second verse. And I will give you a heads up as to which songs we're singing, and a couple of them are printed. The words are printed out in the worship folder. So just have those worship notes ready as we worship today. I don't know about you, but sometimes waiting for things makes me anxious. And it drives me crazy, especially if I don't know what's going to happen and if what I'm waiting for is a big thing. Hopefully today, knowing that Jesus is coming back, and he is coming back as your judge, and he has done everything to prepare you for that day, can set your hearts and minds at ease, knowing that waiting for Jesus is a good thing. And when he comes to judge you, it's going to be a glorious day. I look forward to sharing that encouragement and comfort with you today as part of the sermon. This time I would direct your attention to page 3 in the worship booklet, where you see our opening hymn is from the Blue Hymn Book, number 750. It will be accompanied by Branches Band, and again, Branches will sing the first stanza of the hymn. Hymn 750. Let us worship the Lord.
Thank you.
Continues on page 3 in the worship booklet. Please stand.
Oh, Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth shall declare your praise.
Hasten to save me, O God. God, our light and our life.
Come, O come, resurrection. Come, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout with joy to our saving God. Come, enter in with the songs of praise.
Lord, you have been my
Sunday. We are getting ready for the last judgment when Jesus himself will come back to be our judge. These lessons impress upon us the seriousness of his judgment. Regardless of whether or not anybody brushes him off or takes him seriously, his judgment is real. As is our need to be prepared, as is the preparations that Jesus has made for us, as urgent is our need to make sure that our brothers and sisters, our friends and neighbors are ready for this judgment. The first lesson is recorded in Malachi chapter 4. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the sun of righteousness will shine with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is recorded in Hebrews chapter 9. This lesson will be the basis for my sermon today. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel for this morning is recorded in John chapter 5. Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth.
A time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me.
This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day. And again, Branches will introduce the hymn and sing the first stanza for us, hymn 382. In the name of him who has prepared you for judgment, perfect, holy, and blameless before the throne of God, in the name of Jesus. I mentioned before my sermon is based on the second lesson for this morning from Hebrews chapter 9. I just wanted to highlight the last two verses, verses 27 and 28. Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. This is the word and promise of our God. I've never been in that waiting room before, so I can only guess what it's like. I can only guess what's going on. I can only guess what the judge is doing. I can only guess what the prosecutor is doing, what the defense is doing, what the accused is doing, and what his family is up to. What do you do when you are waiting for the judge to come back with a verdict or to come back with a sentence. About all I have is some TV knowledge, so I think my impression of this has been skewed a little bit, because what's the judge doing? Is the judge in his chambers smoking a cigar and sipping on brandy because he's not really so interested in you because he has bigger, higher profile cases to tend to? Is he preparing for his next political move? And when the time is right, sure, he'll come out, but he's not really invested in you and in your case. Like I said, too much TV. I don't think that's really what happens, but what is the judge doing as you are waiting in the waiting room? You know what the prosecutor is doing. The prosecutor, he is going over the trial. He is convincing himself that he won, that he has enough on you to convict you and to put you away forever, and maybe that even makes him a little happy, and he gets that little sinister smile on his face, and he can't wait for the judge to come out and sentence you and condemn you and put you away for a long, long time. What are you doing? Are you huddled together with your family? Are you huddled together with your friends? Are you going over the case in your mind? Only problem is, you know you're guilty. You know that absolutely everything they said about you in there was true, and you had no comeback, no defense for any of it. Maybe you're feverishly pacing back and forth. Maybe you're trying to think of anything and everything but the case, but that's all you can think of because you know the judge is coming back at any moment, and you don't stand a chance. How do you anxiously wait for the judge to come back? And what's your defense attorney doing? You know, maybe he's popping in on you and your family saying, hey, don't worry, it's going to be okay. And maybe he doesn't believe a word of it, but he did his best. Or maybe he's already moved on too, right? Maybe he's in the break room and he's answering phone calls from other clients because he knows this is a lost cause and you're not going to win. He's not going to win. So he's already moved on to something bigger and better. I'm not really the one to be speculating as to what exactly goes on in the waiting room when people, whether you are the prosecutor or you are the defendant, you are the judge or you are the accused, I don't really know what's going on in there. But I do know that it's interesting to make this comparison between our legal system today and what Jesus has done for us and the courtroom we will find ourselves in one day. And there's some similarities. I think the prosecutor, I think that's going to go the same. Satan is the prosecutor. And boy, does he have a list on you. And I can't hide anything from him either. And he is in there every day telling God, well, you did this and you did that and you don't stand a chance and you deserve to go to hell forever because of this. And he knows he has a slam dunk case against you. And he is not going to rest until you are convicted and you are sentenced and you are condemned forever. But the interesting difference is when you take a look at Jesus' role in the courtroom. Or maybe it's Jesus' roles in the courtroom. Because not only is Jesus your defense attorney, but Jesus is also the judge in your case. Jesus said, moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgments to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. It's going to be Jesus' job to judge you. He goes on to say, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. But it's not like Jesus is some rogue, renegade judge or attorney. He's right in line with what God said. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Jesus is going to do what's right, and he's going to give a just verdict, a truthful verdict based on the facts. But at the same time, he is also preparing your defense and delivering your defense and tirelessly presenting your defense. Paul tells us in Romans 8, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. And that should set our hearts and minds at ease, right? Jesus has just spoiled what the verdict is going to be. He sacrificed himself for you and for me. And he takes his life, his death, and he pleads it before God's throne. And he presents himself instead of you and instead of me. That gives us hope while we wait. Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. His clients are going to win. Because Jesus is never going to dismiss you because you're small potatoes. And there are bigger, more high-profile, big headline cases for him to try and win. Jesus isn't going to hand you off to his aides or to his staff because he doesn't have time for you. He doesn't want to mess around with you. Jesus isn't going to walk out on your case because who could ever win this one? Jesus is fully invested in you. He is fully invested in your case. And he has done everything to plead your case and to secure a not guilty verdict for you. Jesus appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. He pleads your case not based on the facts of your life, but on the facts of his. His perfect life, the sacrifice he took for you, the penalty he paid for you, that's what he takes into God's courtroom for you. And as your judge, Jesus is not going to fail you either, because he's not the fat cat judge who has bigger things to do than to look out for you. He's not out on the golf course hobnobbing, making a name for himself, making his next political move, planning his next political move. Nor is he some kind of noble man, because I'm sure there's many fine judges out there. They do their human best to hear the facts, and they know the law, and they want to apply the law because they want justice. They want you to have a fair trial, and in the end, they're going to do what they think is right. Jesus kept the law for you. Jesus demands that the law be kept, and he did it for you. Jesus demands that somebody owns your mistakes, that somebody pays for your sin, and Jesus did that for you. That's what Jesus takes into the courtroom for you. That's Jesus' defense for you, and that's going to be the verdict for you. Jesus appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice for himself. So this morning, as we are gathered together in this room and we are waiting for our judge to come back, eagerly anticipate the day that he comes back. Because the alternative absolutely stinks. But waiting for Jesus and for his judgment is well worth it. I don't know why, but this happens sometimes when clients and their lawyers, they just don't get along. And no matter how well or how poorly the defense is going, a client fires his attorney. And I guess that makes sense if things aren't going well, but what if your attorney, what if he went into the judge's room and he said, you know what, I'll take the sentence. I'll stand up there on the stand and the prosecutor can say whatever he wants about me. Everything my client has done, I'll own that. I'll take that. You can sentence me. You can condemn me. I'll go to jail for my client until the sentence is fully paid and served. And then you walk away from that attorney. And you say, thanks, but no thanks. I'm done with you. And you walk away from him, and you go right out, and you do the exact same thing that landed you in the courtroom in the first place. Or maybe you're not quite that defiant. Maybe you say, you know what? I need a break from you. Your defense is great and all. The time you've put into me, I appreciate that, the energy. Thank you very much. But there's this other guy down the hall. And I kind of like what he says a little bit better right now. And even though he has a reputation for being sleazy and he doesn't run with a good crowd and he's probably going to get you into more trouble, you say, I'm going to go with him for a little bit. Or maybe you unload on your attorney. You know, why is the court case going this way? Why haven't you helped me yet? Why do I still have this issue? Why haven't you solved my problems for me? And you go find someone else. And you tell everybody what a horrible attorney you have. And how you can't believe how he's botching the case. And how he doesn't take care of you. And how there's got to be something better. And you go out and you ruin your life all over again? And you have bashed your attorney, you walked out on him, you shamed your attorney, and you put yourself right back under a guilty verdict. I don't know if that would ever happen in a courtroom, but that's exactly what happens every time you and I turn our backs on our Savior attorney, Jesus, who has done nothing but loved us and worked for us, invested his whole life in us, took our guilty verdict upon himself, and he suffered terribly to pay for all of it so that we could be set free forever. But every time we sin, we turn our backs on him and we say, not good enough. It kind of puts a new perspective on complaining too, doesn't it? When he has not pawned you off on his staff, he has not put you on caller ID and say, I'm not taking your phone call right now because I have somebody bigger and better than you. Invested 100% and you think there's something better and you think you have a right to complain about how your case is going or about some sort of burden that he has placed on you. Or you have this great news that not only has this Savior attorney, not only has he done this for you, but he's done it for everybody in the waiting room, but you don't really care and you're just content to watch these people get up one after another and go through the door to meet the judge, and you know they're going to be convicted, you know they're going to be condemned, but you don't care enough to do anything about that. You don't care enough to share your Savior attorney with those people, and you watch them go one by one. And then you ditch your attorney and you go do things that shame him. And you go find a better attorney and you go find some better things to put your hope in. Jesus makes it very clear what he's going to do when he comes back. He makes it very clear what his judgment is going to be based on. Jesus said, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good, those who have faith in Jesus and are faithful to him will live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." And in Hebrews 9, we have it, just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. What's your weight going to be like? Knowing that you have kicked Jesus off of your team, knowing that you now bear your guilty verdict, you now bear your sentence, and Jesus is very serious. He told us in the first lesson, he told us in the second lesson, he told us in the gospel for today, he is going to come with vengeance and he is going to judge. What's your wait like? Can you not wait to see him someday? What's your wait like as you are grousing and complaining, going looking for somebody to do a better job at handling your case, a better job at handling your life? That weight stinks because there is no hope. There's nothing to look forward to. There is no comfort there. Which is why looking to Jesus and hoping and waiting in him is a glorious weight. Jesus said, or the writer to the Hebrews said, "For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place, every year with blood that is not his own. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself." You don't have to wonder ever, well, is this deal still on the table or isn't it? Is this offer still good or not? Is this not guilty verdict mine or isn't it? Because regardless of how faithful or unfaithful you have been, Jesus is not going to plead your life. He's going to plead his. It's not up. He's not going to hold you accountable and have you suffer and take this punishment. He already has. He has already carried your sentence for you. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Every single one of your failures in the waiting room Every single time you have told Jesus, no, thank you, don't want your help right now, don't need your help right now, got a better alternative. Jesus died for that once and for all, to take care of all of them. No matter how many times you've left him for a quote-unquote better lawyer or a better option in life, Jesus paid for that fully, once and for all. For every time that you have complained about how the case is going, or maybe how your weight is going, or a burden that has been laid on you as you wait for him, fully and freely forgiven once and for all, because Jesus, your attorney and your judge, sacrificed himself. For every time you watch somebody, a friend, a neighbor, coworker, every time you watch them walk into that door without Jesus and you did nothing, Jesus died for that sin too. And he died for the times that I have failed to do that. That's what gives us hope. That's what enables us to boldly and confidently, eagerly await the day that our judge is coming back. And he doesn't want your help. He doesn't want your help feeling guilty, feeling ashamed about what you've done, or beating yourself up, kicking yourself over and over and over again until you feel badly enough for what you've done. Jesus already did that for you. He already suffered for that. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So as you wait for him today, fill up on him. Be a faithful student of his word. Learn the great things that your Savior attorney has done for you. The way that he will tirelessly fight for you, that he will never turn his back on you. He will always be there for you. And grow up. I think sometimes patience just takes a little bit of growing up. And maybe some of you are there, but if you're like me and you get impatient, waiting for God to fix things, waiting for God to comfort you for something that you've done in the past, eagerly wait on him because he's there for you. And grow in his word, and he will comfort you, and he will strengthen you. He will make you a better client. He will make you a better witness. Give you the words to say when you go to your friend and neighbor and say, don't go through that door without your Savior attorney. And then after our eager wait is over, he's going to come back and we're going to face him confidently. And he's going to take us to be with him forever in heaven. Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear again a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Wait on the Lord to comfort you, to strengthen you, and to come back for you. Amen. May the peace of the Lord Jesus that has been secured for you by his life and death, may it be in your heads, may it be treasured in your hearts, and may it be lived in your lives to your God's glory forever. Amen. We join together in the song, You Are God, We Praise You, on page 8 in the worship booklet. Please stand.
Angels in heaven, we praise you.
Please be seated as we gather the offering. To you, O Lord. O Lord, hear our voices. Heavenly Father, we confess with sorrow that we have sinned and deserve only your anger and punishment. We confess with joy that your unfailing love has redeemed us.
Our hope is in you.
Around us, we see the birth pangs of the last days. War, famine, earthquakes, false prophets, spiritual apathy.
Jesus comes to remind us that we do not know the day or hour when Christ will come again.
Keep us faithful to your word. Send your spirit to strengthen our faith so that we always are prepared for your son's return as judge. Build our fellowship of love as brothers and sisters in faith.
Help us support one another when trials and troubles come our way.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to support one another. And so we ask that you hear us as we pray to you on behalf of our sister Linda Rentz, who recently had a feeding tube inserted. We thank you for the faithfulness that you have built up in her through word and sacrament. We thank you for the way that she has endured under extreme difficulty and trial. We ask that you continue to be with her as our sister and comfort her and give her strength. Dear Heavenly Father, we also thank you for the eternal victory that our sisters Shirley Marks and Debbie Heidemann enjoy right now up in heaven, as they have faced your judgment throne with your Son's life lived for them and death died for them. They now rejoice in eternal victory, as you have declared them not guilty children forever. We ask that you continue to be with their families and comfort them, as there will be sorrow and sadness in the days ahead. Help them to see their sisters Shirley and Debbie at home with you forever, and help them to anticipate the great day that you will come to take them to be with their loved ones again. And dear Heavenly Father, we at this time thank you for your gifts of government and the many blessings and protection that you provide for us through them. We especially are thankful for the veterans who have served our country faithfully. We certainly ask that if it is your will that you would end all wars and that you would restore peace. However, we are also mindful of the fact that sin has ruined everything and rarely brings peace. So until the day that you call us home, please be with our veterans and their families and everybody who has sacrificed and suffered, and bless those who continue to serve in the armed forces on our behalf. Heavenly Father, we eagerly wait for Jesus to come again and make all things new. May he find us, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, faithfully enduring to the end through the power of your Holy Spirit. Our sermon hymn for this morning is printed completely for you on page 11, and once again, branches will introduce by singing the first hymn verse. It's number 207.
morning, O Lord, I call to you. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord God Almighty, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may always look forward to the end of this present evil age and to the day of your righteous judgment. Keep us steadfast in true and living faith, and present us at last holy and blameless before you. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to this new day. Defend us with your mighty power, and grant that this day we neither fall into sin nor run into any kind of danger. And in all we do, direct us to what is right in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Thank you.
May the peace of the Lord Jesus be with you, his people, as you wait on your judge to come and help you now and come to take you to be with him forever on that great day. We'd like to thank Branches for beautifying and helping us worship today. We appreciate you and your talents and the trip that you made here. I will give them an opportunity to introduce themselves and to tell you a little bit more about what they do, and then Mr. Bauer will handle the Sunday announcements this morning. And then I will look forward to saying hi to you one more time on your way out of worship this morning.
Thank you for welcoming us here. We are Branches Band. We took our name from John 15, verse 5, where Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." The way that we are Branches is we use music for ministry, and we're blessed to be able to do that really all over North America. We're based in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and we're there part of the year, but we tour much of the year and all year round, whether we're at home or on the road. We play for church every Sunday. We offer concerts throughout the week. We play for schools and all types of indoor and outdoor church events. And it's really a privilege to serve in so many different ways and so many different places. We've been blessed to serve over 400 congregations, and we've played in all 50 states in Canada. And it's really such a joy to travel far and wide, sharing God's word and song wherever we're able to do that. So thanks so much for welcoming us back here this morning. We were here about 4 years ago to play for worship, and we're excited to be back again doing the same thing. You can find more information, including our schedule, at branchesband.com. A couple things I'll highlight. Tomorrow morning at 8:30, we're going to do a school program of our original children's music, so that'll be a lot of fun. And then tomorrow night, in place of the 7 p.m. worship service, we're going to be doing a concert of all different songs. There will be no repeats from this morning, so look forward to seeing you all here tomorrow night if you can make it. So that would be great. We have CDs available afterwards if you're interested. You may have seen our table on your way in. And we also have sheet music, so if you play guitar or piano or sing, we have our hymn arrangements and original songs available in songbooks. So take a look at that as well if you're interested. And between CD sales and free will offerings and donations, we are able to support ourselves in this ministry. This is what we do full time. Again, it's such a joy to be able to serve in this way. So thank you so much for having us here again today. My name is Andy Brown. I graduated from Wisconsin Lutheran College, and now I play with Branches Band, and it's a joy to be part of it. I'm going to turn it over to my wife, Rachel.
Hi, I'm Rachel Brown, married to Andy Brown. I also went to Wisconsin Lutheran College, graduated in 2007 with a degree in music, and we've been blessed to be able to play music full-time ever since then. So it's, again, as Andy said, just such a blessing for us that we're able to use our gifts to not only make a living, but to praise our God in doing so. This is a ministry that we have very much enjoyed being a part of and has given us a lot of different opportunities. We've been able to put together CDs, like Andy mentioned. We have a kids' CD of all original songs. We've been able to play for the Wells International Youth Rally. In 2014, we got to play for the Wells Worship Conference, and it's just been a lot of fun for us to be involved in this. We look forward to doing this ministry well into the future, although it may change ever so slightly. We are expecting a baby in January. So, any traveling babysitters, last night. Thank you. But be sure to come and say hi to us in back. We'll be hanging out by that back table, so if you have any questions about our ministry, about our travels, anything like that. And if you would like to support us, there are free will offering baskets set up in back, and CDs and t-shirts and all sorts of things. But really, just having your prayers and support for our ministry in that way means so much to us. So, thanks again for having us here this morning. We look forward to talking with you after the service.
Please bear with me. The first thing is a special opportunity that we have as a congregation next Sunday. You may or may not know that Mr. Walker and Mrs. Walker will be retiring at the end of the current school year. There was something in the newsletter about that. And rest assured, we'll take advantage of an opportunity to give them a good send-off this spring. But we'll be calling to replace them, our 5th and 6th grade homeroom teacher and a part-time upper grades teacher. So next Sunday, after the late service, as soon as we can get started, we'll be having a voters meeting, considering a call list that the Commission on Lutheran Schools will supply to us of candidates that meet the qualifications that we're looking for, and then from that list we'll prayerfully select a couple of candidates and extend those calls. So it's an opportunity for all of us to be involved with an important part of our congregation's ministry. We haven't really had any significant changes to our school staff for at least 8 years, so it's an important step forward for our school. Everyone's encouraged to be a part of it. This coming spring, we're going to be starting something new at our school. It's called the St. Mark's Soiree. It's a special event designed to generate financial support for our school, to accomplish some projects that are difficult to accomplish in the budget. One small example would be, we have a couple classrooms that are in need of new desks, and it costs upwards of $8,500 to replace those desks. So that's the type of project that we're looking to accomplish with this special soiree fundraising effort. It's going to consist of an elegant meal, some fun entertainment — we're considering having comedy sports come — and then it's also going to consist of a silent auction, and that's primarily where the financial support is going to come from. So this morning I'd like to ask you to consider helping us with this effort. In the back, as you leave this morning, right around the corner, we're going to have a couple people from our cause committee, people active with St. Mark's, and they're going to have available folders like this that contain in the ballpark of five businesses that we would like to recruit help contacting to see if they can make a donation or a contribution to our silent auction. And it's really easy. In that folder, you're going to have a checklist. It's going to list the organizations, phone numbers, addresses, so it's right there for you. And then we're asking in the next month, by December 15th, that if you were to take one of these, you would contact that business, primarily ask for the manager. You can stop by in person or make contact over the phone and just ask them if they can support our effort. You would indicate yes or no, depending on what they say, and then what they plan to donate, if they plan to make a donation. And as far as what to say to them goes, that's very easy as well. The folder contains a handful of these letters, and it describes the soiree, school support effort. And so really, your script is this letter. Just hit a few of the highlights. If you see a manager in person, just hand them the letter and say, we're seeking donations for this school silent auction. Let them consider it and take it from there. So if you can contribute a little bit of time, making a few stops or making a few phone calls, please stop by in the back, pick up one of those folders, and in the next month, if you can make that handful of contacts, it'll be super helpful to our school. A few more items to highlight. This morning, we will be formally, officially celebrating our school's accreditation. We went through the self-study, you know, upwards of 18 months ago. We wrapped that up last spring with our school site visit. The school site visit recommended us for exemplary accreditation, which means we met at least 95% of the standards. And then just recently, we finally received our certificates in the mail, which made it official. So this morning, we'd like to thank the small army of people that helped with that self-study. We have a little bit of cake in the back. Everybody's invited to have that cake and enjoy a little bit of time of fellowship. But I'd like to thank everybody who helped with that self-study. Many of you are in the room this morning. So let's clap for that. A couple invitations to upcoming events. This coming Friday at 5 o'clock, we'll be having our fall hoedown, chili, cornbread, brownie contests, line dancing, and some fun throwback games like three-legged races and potato sack races and pie-eating contests. So if you're looking for some fun this coming Friday evening, in the gym we'll be having our hoedown. We've got some home basketball games coming up this week, Monday and Thursday. More information in the announcement flyer. If you're interested in wearing your pride in our school with some St. Mark's spirit wear, there are orders at the school counter in the lobby. Those orders are due by this Friday if you'd like to place an order for some spirit wear. And then finally, two Fridays from now — it's crazy how fast this is coming — but our annual school talent night. That'll be on November 20th at 7 o'clock in the gym, our students showcasing their many and varied talents. It's really a fun variety show. I'd like to invite you to that as well. That's it for my announcements this morning. We're also going to give you a special treat this morning. For the first time, we put together a little video picture montage of school life for the first quarter of the school year. So God willing, this plays, and if you feel the need to sing along, go right ahead. And this will give you a little snapshot of what's been going on in our school for the first quarter of the school year.
Yeah. Adopted a ministry plan that will use the gifts that God makes available to continue sharing the gospel in mission fields and preparing workers to go into those fields with the gospel of Jesus. More than a decade ago, a number of decisions were made that are still having an effect on our work today. There were extensive facilities needs at our synodical schools that needed to be addressed. In addition to that, opportunities for expanded mission work were compelling. As a result, the Synod took on debts in various ways and for various reasons. In 2009, that debt totaled $22.4 million. The decision was made then to eliminate that debt, and we've been faithfully paying it off ever since. We've already eliminated about $18 million of the debt. The annual debt payment of $1.6 million will retire the debt completely by 2018. But setting aside that kind of money for debt repayment means that it can't be used for carrying out ministry. For that reason, the Synod Convention in 2013 resolved that we would undertake a synod-wide effort to retire the debt early, freeing those funds for the support of missions and ministerial education, and helping congregations to carry out their mission locally. This effort begins this fall, and the goal of the effort is to eliminate the remaining debt of $4.7 million by the middle of next year. This special offering is called One in Christ, Moving Forward in Ministry. Today, I'm encouraging every congregation and every member to express our unity of faith and mission by being a part of this special offering. And God has certainly blessed the work we've been doing together as a synod. For example, your offerings support world mission work in 23 fields, serving more than 128,000 souls. People like Edili Picardo, who as a young girl happened upon a Wells mission in the Caribbean, came to faith and eventually became a Wells teacher.
I think missionaries are so important, you know, everywhere. You just never know the way that you are going to impact people's lives, like my life was.
¿Qué más de Trujillo?
Your offerings also support home missions, more than 160 home mission ministries across North America, and to open new home missions to proclaim the gospel in new areas. Just one example of a new mission congregation made possible by your offerings is in Gilbert, Arizona.
And it's comforting to know that I'm not doing it by myself, but I have all these people encouraging me, I have all these people that are working just as hard or more hard than I am, so it's pretty great.
A significant portion of your gifts support the training of future pastors, teachers, and staff ministers. More than 1,500 students enrolled in our ministerial education system this year. MLC graduates like Stephanie Punky serve congregations like yours.
It's just the greatest feeling when I see those kids, you know, they're drawing away at their pictures and they start singing Jesus Loves Me. And it's just such a wonderful feeling to realize that I am touching them, that God is working through me to help those children.
The special offering is called One in Christ because we're all in this together, blessed in our unity of faith and mission and in our Christian love for one another. To reach our goal, we would like to give every congregation and each individual the opportunity to participate in this effort. And don't just participate. Please pray, asking God that He will bless us through the power of His saving gospel message. By God's grace, we will be one in Christ, moving forward in ministry. Thank you, and may God continue to bless you with the joyful message of a Savior who lived, died, and rose again to set you free.